Are you feeling overwhelmed by graffiti in your neighborhood? You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about whether Cincinnati's graffiti problem is growing and who's responsible for cleanup are Cincinnati City Councilmember Mark Jeffries and Cincinnati Department of Buildings and Inspections Division Manager James Bruner. Thank you both for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
So, James, how big a problem is graffiti in the city? Has it gotten worse? Is it getting worse?
Graffiti in the city is becoming highly broadcasted. The Department of Building and Inspections took over the graffiti program in April of 2025. And so far this year, since taking over, we've had close to 350 complaints being brought to our attention of graffiti on private property.
Wow. And is that just residential property or does that include commercial property also?
It includes the residential and the commercial properties. Several of our business corridors are seeing areas where it is increased and people are concerned.
Yeah. Do some neighborhoods see more graffiti than others, James? Where are you all seeing the most?
There are. Our north side area tends to have a predominant source of graffiti there. We also have a couple other small little business districts that are showing signs of increased activity in and around them.
Councilmember Jeffries, when does the city take responsibility for removing the graffiti?
Yeah, so if I would think about the graffiti removal in two parts. There's private graffiti, which we just talked about, and then there's graffiti on public space. And so the public space typically is Public Works who handles that. And so in the case of private, we did pass an ordinance about a year and a half ago that said you need to remove it within 30 days. If you don't remove it, we will notify you, or we notify you, and if you don't remove it in 30 days, then we will remove it for you and charge it back to your property tax assessment. And so that is new, which I think is helpful. So that's how right currently we handle it.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit more about the impetus for that ordinance? Kind of why? Because I believe you were the sponsor of that, weren't you?
Yeah,
one of them.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, the impetus is what we were just talking about, especially in neighborhoods north side. There are a few Price Hill, other neighborhoods. I personally live in Clifton. I know, that's a big issue. And residents just said, hey, look, we have to do something differently. I mean, if you look at a lot of other cities, and I think we could actually go farther, which is what I do want to do. A lot of other cities mandate even closer than 30 days, maybe it's 72 hours or something like that, because, graffiti begets graffiti, and graffiti artists see it, and then they know that it's okay, and then they choose to do more. So I do think there are steps going forward that we can and should do to tighten that. And currently, what I would also say is right now, we're doing mostly reactive, right? Somebody complains to our 311 system, or they call and say, hey, there's graffiti in the building next door, or a public space, and then we go out and remediate it. I do think we need to look at a more proactive approach, to accommodate, and especially in areas like Northside, have a really concerted effort, because it is really problematic in the business district how overrun with graffiti it is.
Does the ordinance that council passed, does it have any penalties for taggers, the people who are doing this graffiti?
No, it's more around just accommodating removing it, which, unfortunately, I mean, look, if you're a private property owner, it's not your fault that somebody, so it is really unfortunate. We do have laws on the books and that go after people who are doing the graffiti, and separately that CPD does pursue them. But the accommodation is much more for folks who, who are the property owner, and just making sure that we're keeping private, but then also public needs to, we have graffiti over bridges. And I always say we have to take responsibility of our public property first to show the way before we even tell private property owners they have to remediate it as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are talking about graffiti in Cincinnati. Are you seeing more in your neighborhood? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. James, you mentioned that your department, Department of Buildings and Inspections, recently took over the graffiti for private property. How many city employees are responsible for that? Is that the only thing that a certain number of people deal with?
We currently have two inspectors who are divided east and west to go out and actually do the initial inspection related to that. We have a support staff of 3 to 5 people who are in the process of sending out the notifications to the owners, sending notification to the contractors who are part of our system to go out and actually do those abatements. So overall, there's anywhere between 5 to 7 different people that are working through the graffiti in a day-to-day capacity.
And do you find that, I don't know if you've got this in your head or broken down, but how many property owners decide to take care of it themselves, and how typical is it for the city to need to do that remediation and then, you know, bill the property owner?
I don't really have a percentage available. We do know that there are owners who have taken the initiative to remove them themselves. Currently, right now, we have about 40 projects that are out under contract for our contractors to go out and actually remove the graffiti.
Wow.
So there is a percentage of it that does have to come back through city abatement to be removed.
Yeah. And how is there an average amount of time that typically takes once you're aware of the graffiti and you hear from the property owner, oh, I'm going to let you all take care of this and bill me? Is there a standard amount of time it takes, or does it vary a lot?
We don't actually move anything forward until after our 30-day time frame. So we will go back out, and if the graffiti has been abated by the owner, then we will close our record. If we go out at the 30 days and the graffiti is still present, then we begin moving that process.
I see.
If an owner contacts us after that timeline and, you know, presents a plan to abate it, we will definitely allow them the opportunity to abate it before we have to.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what goes into the contractors removing the graffiti, kind of how involved that process can be?
It's a very consuming process, because ultimately, you know, we have to find a bid proposal that was put together. We send it to multiple contractors to provide us a bid. Obviously, we want to do right by the owners, because we're going to assess this back to their taxes. So we're looking at what can be the lowest bid to bring the property into compliance. We are looking at what the necessary steps are and the scope of work that's there. We have estimates that have been from $250 up to $13,000.
Wow,
for graffiti removal.
And
some of that's dependent upon the amount of graffiti that's there. Some of that is, you know, when we have it on tall buildings and additional steps are necessary to go remove that graffiti, those costs ultimately show up in the bid package.
Well, and I would imagine, you know, you're talking about doing right by the homeowners. It must depend on what material's been spray painted too, if it's brick or if it's already a painted surface. I mean, I imagine you don't want to just have a contractor spray paint black paint over everything to cover the graffiti and not have a big old black spot on the house or business.
Correct. The contractors are to color match the buildings to the best of their ability. If it is an unpainted brick building, then they are required to remove the graffiti through chemical agents to be able to return that back to a natural brick facade. Some of what is also present is we have historical districts that have specific guidelines that ultimately we have to make sure our contractors are aware of.
Mm-hmm. Councilmember Jeffries, you mentioned this ordinance that was passed in 2024. Why was this issue important for the city? What do you feel like is the public sentiment around this issue of graffiti?
I think generally the public sentiment, rightfully, on a lot of what we term quality of life issues has really shifted. They're quote-unquote little, but they're not little. You think about litter, graffiti, and then quality of life crime issues as well. It gives a perception of, lower quality of life. And so I think they've definitely amplified in the past few years. And, you know, citizens are like, look, we're fed up of, you know, what what that says about our city. I mean, I've been walking all 52 neighborhoods. I love it. But one of the most common things when I either knock on doors or just see people in the street is like, it's embarrassing. The litter and graffiti, it looks like we don't care about our city, which of course, all of us love the city and we do care. And there's no reason why we have to accept that as it is. So I think there's a few things. This ordinance was a first step, which is great. I think we can and need to go forward, and part of it is a policy choice of getting tighter on that time frame. I think 30 days is almost too long. In fact, it's like, all right, 30 days, remove it, and then there's open a canvas for somebody to come back. I think if a graffiti artist knows, all right, it has to be done within 48 hours or 72, you know, we want to be accommodating to private property owners, but also make sure that it's removed in a timely fashion. So there's that, and then operationally, you know, a lot of other cities have graffiti patrols or more proactively going out. I think there's an opportunity for us as a city. Do we want to fund something like that to take the work that building inspections is doing and our public works even farther? And that'll become more of a budget choice for council. And so in the next few weeks, I'll be putting forward you know, some proposals around that.
Mm-hmm. Have you gotten any complaints from property owners about the ordinance? I'm just thinking that, you know, if you basically the victim of a crime, somebody sprays a tag on your home or your business, and then you have to pay to undo it, I imagine that might make some people salty. Have you gotten any complaints from people?
Sure. No, I have not. In fact, it's the opposite, especially people in Northside have reached out and said, you guys have this ordinance. How come we're seeing so much graffiti? And that, as we noted, is a particular neighborhood that's challenging. You know, so it's more the opposite, that how come we're not doing it more aggressively?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we are going to talk more about graffiti in Cincinnati after a short break. And later in the program, what's the best way to gauge what students learn? We'll discuss equitable grading with a supporter, a critic, and a former classroom teacher. This is Cincinnati Edition. Are you thinking ahead to November's election? Join me in our new building at 8 p.m. September 24th for a live politics show. Get more information and register to attend at wvxu.org. You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about graffiti in Cincinnati and who's responsible for removing it. My guests are Cincinnati City Councilmember Mark Jeffries and Cincinnati Department of Buildings and Inspections Division Manager James Bruner. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. We do have a caller on the line. Hi, Martha. Thanks so much for your call. What's your question or comment?
Yeah, I had a question. Well, I guess a comment more about, there was a mention of 30 days is sufficient to get the graffiti removed. And as someone who lives in a building that's been graffitied repeatedly and we're trying to work to remove it, the 30 days is really challenging, I think, because we first got quotes about removing the graffiti and it was near $20,000, which is really kind of, you know, that's not easy to, you know, come up with right away.
Gosh, Martha, $20,000. What was the graffiti like on your place?
There's quite a bit of tags along the building, and it's a large building. And then we looked into graffiti removers and how we can do it ourselves. So then we have a brick building, so we had to test it and see that it wasn't going to do a lot of damage to the brick, and then order enough of this material to remove it. And you know, that took significant time. And we also both work full time, so trying to find, you know, time on the weekends to get out there with a power washer and do this process, because it does take hours to do. So 30 days, I know it sounds like a lot of time, but it's really not. Especially at the expense that it could cost. So yeah. I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah. Thanks, Martha. We appreciate that perspective. James, tell us how that works. If you heard from somebody like Martha who said, hey, I need more time, is there flexibility? Can you, if a property owner like her has a plan, can you give some flexibility with that timeline?
Yes, we can. As long as we know that there's a plan in place and that the owner is working to resolve the issue, obviously we would much rather have the owner take care of that problem themselves than have us actually come out, do the work, and submit a bill back into the taxing auditor to, you know, increase their tax payment. As long as they can provide us the information, we're more than willing to listen and make accommodation for that.
And if Martha wants to get in touch with your department, what's the best way for her to do that, to kind of let you all know what's up?
The best way is to contact the inspector that's on the letter that she would have received. He would have had his phone number and an email address available, and just be able to communicate with us to let us know that you're working through that process, the steps that you're taking, and, you know, we can make adjustments from there.
Okay. Martha, thanks so much for your call. I'm sorry you're dealing with that, and we really appreciate your listening and your calling with that perspective. Councilmember Jeffries, we also got this email, another one. I apologize. John called. He didn't stay on the line, but he called to say he thinks calling vandals graffiti artists legitimizes the crime, and the word vandals should be used instead. What are your thoughts on that, Councilmember Jeffries? Because there are people who look at this stuff spray painted on buildings or bridges or whatever and do think of some of it as art, other parts of it maybe not so artistic. But what are your thoughts on that?
Sure. I think his point is very fair. Fair enough. I think anybody who does graffiti on either a public space, they don't own that space, or a private space, you don't own that space. If you want to graffiti in your, you know, inside your house, your own house, whatever, do it to your heart's content. But when you do it on a public space or somebody else's building, you are crossing a line, and therefore it is a crime. So fair point on the wording. I do think this is a balance too, right? I think we have to continue to do more enforcement of folks who are committing these crimes. I know in Northside, and then also in some Over the Rhine situations, they caught some of the kids on camera, you know, which does help CPD. CPD also has a program where they can integrate the camera images into CPD. So I would encourage folks, if you do have areas that are, you know, very graffitied, then that's one solution. I know a lot of neighborhoods, for example, Clifton has a bunch of different cameras, and so then they therefore can, you know, catch an image of the person and then using that. So it's a balance. We do have to have the enforcement side to make sure that we're clamping down on it. Yeah, and we don't want to penalize, I think, BNI, building inspection, working with folks, you know, to make sure they're not overly burdened. You know, there is a public interest, which is making sure that we have a clean and safe environment. But on the other hand, you know, understanding some of those $20,000 is really extreme and horrible. And, you know, working with folks to make sure that they can put that forward. The other thing that I think we need to look at, and we have been having this conversation with Keep Cincinnati Beautiful, is a lot of other cities give out, like, paint, for example, to folks, where they do these cleanups where they're providing the supplies. That's another way that we can make sure that we're not burdening penalizing a private homeowner who is the victim of somebody, you know, spray painting. That wasn't their fault. And so I do think we need to look at programs like that where we're assisting them in even providing the paint or the removal systems needed.
Mm-hmm. We also got a call from Bruce who said, the graffiti that's downtown near the river looks terrible, specifically the graffiti on the flood wall and the public landing, as well as the 471 bridge. How does graffiti that's down by the water get dealt with? Is that a public works issue also?
I think the graffiti that he's referring to, I think, is on public land, so therefore it's a public work. So yes, the administration handles it. Buildings and inspections does private, and then public works does public. I think that's fairly new, James. I think in the past we might have handled it in one area.
Correct.
You know, so, you know, whether that's the right structure or not, we can figure out. But, you know, that's currently how we structure responding.
Okay. We also got an email from Steve who writes, what constitutes graffiti in the eyes of the city? Private property assessments on tax bills to compensate the city for intervention and removal on private property seems to be a slippery slope, seems to be harsh treatment for the victim of a crime. What do you think about that, Councilmember Jeffries?
Yeah, I'll go back to what I just said. I think there's two parts to that. One is we need to do more enforcement, so we're not penalizing the person who is a victim of it. The other is accommodating them either as they're trying to remove it, giving them more time because they're going to remove it, or even providing them with supplies to help. You know, we're not here to penalize people who are private property owners who, you know, are trying to do the right thing and remove it. But if you're not doing the right thing and you just leave it there forever, that's not in the public interest either. And so, you know, we want to be reasonable and try to work with folks to remove it.
Does, I don't know if you know this, James, or maybe you, Councilmember Jeffries, does the city have any spaces where people are legally allowed to tag or do graffiti, you know, kind of express their art in that way?
We brought this, we discussed this the other day with Keep Cincinnati Beautiful. My understanding is no. You know, and some cities do have that, and there are different schools of thought on it. I don't think that should be our focus right now. Our focus should be on removing it from public spaces and then with private, going after the folks who are doing it, but then also making sure that we're helping those private owners with either supplies or working with them to make sure that they can remove it.
Mm-hmm. And are there any, you mentioned that you're looking at maybe other ways to tweak the ordinance or tighten it up a little bit. What are you looking at for that?
Yeah, it's a discussion I think we need to have with my colleagues. And again, it's a balance to the caller before. 30 days is not enough for her. In you know, 30 days is a long time from the public's perspective, you know. And so I do think what we're going to look at is what do other cities do? This is not a problem unique to Cincinnati. You know, there are, Chicago's done very tighter limits on it and other cities. But what's worked and what hasn't worked, I think we can go to school on that first. Because, you know, we're a year and a half into this, and I think it's a time to pause and just say, okay, what's worked and what hasn't worked, and how do we make sure that we tackle this more aggressively than what we're doing now? Because right now we're reactively, and I think there is a benefit to more proactively doing it, not just from a law standpoint, but then also proactively sending folks out to identify where there is graffiti. So I think there's both a budget and a legal framework to tighten it.
Okay. And just real quickly, if people want to report graffiti, how do they do that?
You can just go on to the 311 app. I've done it myself. And you can report it either there or call or the website, 311.
Okay. Well, I have been talking with Cincinnati City Council member Mark Jeffries and Cincinnati Department of Buildings and Inspections Division Manager James Bruner. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Up next, we'll discuss equitable grading, what it is and what it means for students and teachers. This is Cincinnati Edition.